Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. God makes them a promise. I've given you the land to possess. But he commands each one of us, when you enter into that land, destroy everything. Whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's lust and all these other things, drunkenness, all the things that the Bible talk about, it says, dispossess that from your life. Get rid of that stuff. Don't have any of that stuff left in your life. But so frequently, we hang on to these little secret sins in our lives, and we continue to hold on to them. Then it comes to a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Ammon, Moab, and they're all gathered against Israel. And I encourage you to read this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And there's a key in there. It says that these were the people that were not dispossessed from the land that now came and began to attack the Israelites. And they felt guilty. Israel felt guilty. King Jehoshaphat here, he's struggling, but he humbles himself before God. And he says, God, what shall I do? I would love to read the whole thing for you, but it's quite a long story. But I want to read from verse 14. The whole congregation humbled themselves before God, and then the Spirit of God came upon them. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he said, listen, all you Judah. Listen, Ken. Listen, Lexi. Listen, Emma. Listen, Nicole. Listen. Listen, Anthony. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. And he says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. So often, when we feel guilty, when we disobey God, we think we have to now make it up to God. It's our battle. We begin and we say, oh, I put on the armor of God and I'm going to start fighting this battle. There's some times in your life where you have to relinquish where God is saying, this battle is not yours, it's mine. You stand back and you will begin to see great victory. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. He's not saying lay down. He says, position yourselves. Stand and see what happens. And see the salvation of the Lord. Who knows what the word salvation is in Hebrew? Yeshua. Position yourselves and you will see Yeshua. Position yourselves and you will, Yeshua, you will see the Yeshua of the Lord. So frequently, we try to do this by ourselves. He's saying here in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, position yourselves and you will see Yeshua, the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you? The salvation of the Lord who is with you. Jesus is with you. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is with you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Here's another key. We were just talking about it. When they heard what God was promising to them, before they even secured the victory, they began to praise the Lord. They already began to praise God for the outcome. We see in the New Testament, Paul says, he writes it, he says, let your request be made known to God. And in thanksgiving. Already thank God for the outcome he's about to give you. So they rose early in the morning. They still had to do stuff. They're not, oh, thank you, God, you're going to destroy my enemies. And they laid back and slept. They still rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. I'd love to get into these names, but I'm going to stay out of it. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in the Lord, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went in, and they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." We're just singing that. Now when they began to sing, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Judah means praise. Judah means praise. The enemy will always come, and he will set ambushes and traps against your praise. He wants to take your praise from you. But the moment that they began to see beyond the battle, and they began to see the victory, and they began to get their praise back, God was beginning to fight for them. God set ambushes for them. God began to destroy the enemy. "For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." Unreal. Now listen to this. So when Judah, when praise, came to a place overlooking the wilderness, it was in the wilderness of Tekoa, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. The very thing that Israel failed to do when they went into the promised land and they didn't destroy the enemy, that enemy that came against them, when you let God fight for you, he destroys them utterly. No one escapes. No one escapes. You will not have to fight this enemy again. They were destroyed. But it doesn't stop there. And it shouldn't stop there for you when you get the victory. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, so often we're happy to celebrate the victory, but we need to take the spoil of the enemy. There is spoils for us in that defeat of the enemy. They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were three days gathering the spoil because there was so much. I'm not going to continue reading that, but I want to say to you that there is not just a victory that God is about to bring into your life. When you begin to praise him and you begin to let him fight your battles, there is spoils on the other side as well. When you were struggling, whether you're struggling with depression in your life, anxiety, fear, that enemy that comes against you brings spoils with him that he doesn't realize will be handed over to you. When you're struggling with depression, God will bring you joy. He'll give you oil of joy and gladness for you and beauty for ashes. That is the promises of God in this word for each one of us today. Don't just sit back and let the enemy take from you. Don't let the enemy take from your family. Do not allow that. It is sometimes time for us to humble ourselves before God, begin to seek him, and then begin to position ourselves in the presence of God and see the Yeshua, the salvation of the Lord that is with us. And as we begin to praise God, God is the one that will set ambushes amongst the people. Whether it's people conspiring against you at your workplace, gossiping against you because they don't like you, because you're a Christian, I can tell you from first-hand experience, I have seen God set ambushes amongst those people, and they are the ones that are exposed. because I am a child of God. Because I know who my King is. And I know that He promises me victory. He doesn't promise me an easy road. That is not in the Bible. If you ever hear that message, discard it. That is not what Jesus said. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but behold, take cheer, I have overcome. I have overcome. And when we surrender our lives to Jesus, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places. It's time for you to stop looking up at problems and begin to look at your problems down from heaven, because you're positioned with Christ in heavenly places. Begin to look down. Begin to speak to that mountain. It is sometimes, for some of you here, I just hear the Spirit of God say, for some of you here, it is a first-time battle that you need to fight, and you need to begin to take it up like David and says, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, who come and dare challenge the armies of the living God of Israel? I will take your head from you today, and I will strip your flesh from you, and I'll feed it to the birds of the air, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It is time for us to begin to stand on the Word of God and realize that your words carry weight with them. They carry authority. They carry power. The very last piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6 that you take up is the sword of the Spirit. That sword is your words. That is the Word of God, and you need to begin to meditate upon this Word. You need to begin to speak this Word. Stop speaking what people are saying. Stop agreeing with people when they say, oh, you know, it's just such a bad time in the world right now. And us as Christians go, yeah, it is. What are you doing? Stop that speak. Begin to speak. It might look like it's bad today, but the truth is that my God is seated on the throne, that my God is in control, and that everything that the enemy will bring, and he will attempt to bring evil into your lives, my God will use all of that and turn it into good for every one of us. God has never lost a battle. I'm here to tell you that God has never lost a battle. You and I have lost plenty of battles. It's time to position ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let Him begin to fight for us. And you will see great victory, because my God does not lose. My God never surrenders. My God is the one that says, cross over to the other side. He will take you to the other side. My God is the one that says, take this land from the enemy. I will send my angel before you to destroy them. Then you follow God. Whether it looks big in the world with your natural eyes or not, submit yourself to God and begin to follow God. I want to speak to the children as well, the young kids here. I want to say to you, that whether you know it or not, that God has a calling for each one of you. That God sees you as precious in His eyes. And Samuel was but a little boy when he heard God call out. He was a little boy when he heard God call. And it says in the Word that the Word of God was scarce in those days. That's a mistranslation in the Bible. It says, really means the Word of God was precious in those days. And if you begin to seek God as little as you are, and begin to see His Word, His Bible as precious, you will hear His voice. You will hear Him call you just as He called Samuel. Now I can tell you now that God is looking for kids, for children, to raise up who will take us, the older people like me, into the promised land. Because you don't have the baggage that I have. You have a fresh eye. God is about to speak to all of you in fresh ways, like He's never spoken to other people before. Because the time that we're entering into now is a time for new wineskins. The old wineskins can't take the new wine that God is about to pour out in this world. And I talk to you parents now. It's time for you to begin to not just pray for your children for blessing and protection. It is time for you to begin to prophesy over your children. And you begin to speak. And you need to gather them around. And you need to begin to pray and speak the blessings of God over their life. You need to begin to declare the power of God over their lives. You need to begin to, even if you write it down, like in old ancient Israel times, they actually had it written down and they began to memorize it, but those were powerful blessings. You need to begin to speak to your children, gather them around and say, I speak to you today and I declare that God is good over your life, that God will keep you pure, God will keep you holy, God will protect you from the corruption of this world. I pray that even if 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you. But you will walk in victory, my child. I pray and I speak to you that every word that is written in the books of heaven for your life will be established in your life. We need to begin to speak these words over our children. Because when we begin to plant those seeds of destiny in our children, the enemy cannot uproot them because they're planted by God. And when your child says to you, little such and such, such called me this today, teach them. Say, all right, this is what we're going to do. That is a seed that was planted by the devil in your life. And we need to uproot that. The same way as we do weeding in the garden. We say, all right, let's pray. Lord God, every negative word that was spoken into my child's life right now, I take it out in the name of Jesus. I cancel it in Jesus' name. It will not come to fruition. It will not bear any fruit in my child's life in Jesus' name. And God, in the place of this such and such that they planted, I now plant seeds of life. I speak life into them. If this teacher called me dumb today, well, let's talk about it. Let's pray. Take that out and say, you are a smart child. I declare that you carry the wisdom of the Lord and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the hidden things in this world, which is yet to be revealed, will be revealed to you, my child. Begin to speak life. That is the sword we have. I'm not even preaching today. But I want to ask everyone that is struggling with any of what I just spoke about in your life, please stand up. I want to pray. Everybody who wants me to pray for you, I'm not going to bring you to the front, but I want you to say, God, that is me. I need that in my life. I need that victory in my life. God, help me to surrender and to stand back. Help me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that you hear us when we pray. That you say in your word in James 5 that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And I thank you, God, that each one of these people standing before you today have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, their prayers are heard by you in heaven. And I thank you for it, God, and I speak to each one of these people, I speak courage. I speak wisdom. I speak favor in the name of Jesus Christ. And I come and I cancel out every negative word that the enemy has spoken over their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pull up and I uproot every seed that has been planted by the enemy in their lives that brings discouragement, that brings depression, that brings fear and anxiety. In the name of Jesus, I pull that out and I speak favor. I speak destiny. I speak wisdom in the name of Jesus. Every veil that has been wrapped around their heads to keep them from seeing in the Spirit, I remove it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every stronghold in their lives, in the name of Jesus, I tear it down right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for every situation that is represented and presented to you today in all these people, God, that you will hear them in Jesus' name. That you begin to speak to them in Jesus' name. I thank you for courage. I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for favor in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that this week, as they step into this week, as they leave this church, they don't leave behind what they've heard here, but they begin to walk in the favor and then the courage of the Lord. I pray the King's favor upon their lives in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I pray that every word of destiny that has been written in your books of heaven for each one here will be established here on earth in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you for faithfulness. God, I pray for every person here. Every person now in Jesus' name. Why don't we all stand up, please? I pray, God, as we lift our hands and surrender to you today, God, that your favor will begin to rain down upon people here in Jesus' name. Your wisdom, your glory. I thank you, God, that each person here is a temple of the Holy Spirit, set apart, sealed by your Spirit. And Satan, I now speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say to you that these are blood-bought vessels, bought by Jesus Christ. They have been paid for, and every accusation that you bring against them is nullified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, take your stuff and get out of their lives right now. I bind every plan that you have. I bind every spirit that comes against them in Jesus' name. And I loose everything in their lives from God. I lose favor. I lose love, peace, joy, rejoicing, and the power of God in Jesus' name. No longer will you be held captive by the bonds of the enemy. I speak it over this church now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will no longer be bound and be held in those prisons that the enemy has spoken over you, that they've placed over you in Jesus' name. Every satanic ritual that has been brought against these people, I cancel it with the blood of Jesus Christ right now. And I thank you, God, that you raise them up in a new life. And they're seated in heavenly places. They are already seated there. But God, I pray now for their vision to change. Instead of looking up, they begin to look down on the problem. In Jesus' name. And they begin to speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. I worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. I praise you. Anthony, I just want to pray for you. God, I pray where Anthony plays today, God, that you will just give him courage, that you will give him strength, God, that he will begin to rise above every challenge that is in his life in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that you give him victory, that you speak to him, God, Lord, that he's at the right place at the right time, that chance and favor works for him today in Jesus' name. God, that you make his feet fast as the feet of a deer in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You know, it's... stay standing. Just stay standing. Kids, you haven't had your time upstairs today. We'll let you go up in a minute to get your snacks and whatever. But it's so important what's been done. And you may not understand it with your beautiful little minds at the moment. But there's a change in your lives as a result of what God's done today.
Amen.
There's a change in each one of our lives as a result of what God's done today. This was not part of our plan. God had a plan. God had a plan. And I'd just like you to understand that. I felt it earlier on this week that we would need to pray today for one another, or somehow, some way, there would be an intensity in prayer. I would encourage you to learn to hear from God and to pray one for another. You can come to church and you can walk up to someone and say, I was praying for you this week. And I just want to give you what God showed me, or a 2-minute word of exhortation or encouragement. Do it. The church needs that. The church needs that type of development and interaction in their lives. And I would encourage you, each one. I can see a service in the very near future where we just come here and wait to hear the voice of God. And as God says to Annette, here's a word for Winnica or whatever. And Annette, in obedience, goes and ministers the life of God. And we start to do that, one another, praying one for another, interacting with the Spirit of God, speaking the words of life into each other's life. And I see that as part of our normal living and our normal lifestyle. Yeah. But where it went today with communion and with rake sharing, you could have read my notes. And I'm not preaching, but I just want to share with you something that's very important. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need the fire of God in our belly. We do. And my message today was called Fire and Power. I'm not going to preach it. But let me encourage you, it's coming. Whether it's through me or through Rake or the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I sat there and I was just overwhelmed with what God was doing. And some of us, I saw a cartoon years ago, I think I mentioned it once, where Dennis the Menace came in from outside, filthy, dirty, which he always was when he played in the mud. You know, we've got kids like that. And go and get yourself clean and get in the shower. And Mum walked in and here's Dennis the Menace, come here, Johnny. Here's Dennis the Menace standing in the shower, mud from head to toe. And Mum comes in and says, what? Where's the water? And he looked up and he said, Mum, I'm getting dry cleaned. And I think as Christians, sometimes we try to get dry cleaned. And we don't allow the power, the anointing and the washing and the cleansing of God's word in our lives. There's no dry cleaning in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the other side of it, things, I'll just share this quickly. And is that song on there that I mentioned to you earlier, right? But if you go out for dinner, and we've probably all done it, Lexi's the worst in the world for this, we go in and we pick up the menu, and I look at the steaks, and Lexi looks at the $2 salads, or the, you know, and I want the T-bone or the sirloin or the, you know, and it's like, just, you know, we're on a budget or we're this or we're that, and I'm like, the steak is crying out to me from the pages of the menu. But you know something, if you went to that restaurant and Fritz had said, whatever you want is paid for, help yourself, you would look at the menu differently, wouldn't you? You would look at it differently. We need to look at the menu of God's word differently. Sometimes we think it's a drudgery. Sometimes we think it's a chore. Sometimes we think it's hard. Sometimes we look at it in our own strength and we want to be dry clean instead of the washing of the water of the word. But I'm telling you, the menu of God's word is paid for.
Yes.
You need to look at the menu through different eyes and you say, God, you paid for this for me and it's not in my life. I need it, Jesus. I want it today. I need to have what you've provided for me in its fullness.
Yes. Yep.
And that started today with what's happened here. Rake, I'd like you to play that song. Would you take your seats and listen to this? Sorry, guys, thank you. You can come and join us. A little less like me. Anyone here relate to that? A little more like mercy, a little more like grace. I heard that on the radio this week as I was driving around. Pulled out the old phone, shazam, you know, and got it quickly. And I haven't stopped listening to it because it's so real, so relevant. A little more like Jesus. Well, a lot less like me. A lot less like me. kids, can you go upstairs and just get whatever you've got going? And I'll let Kerry wind up and tell everyone else what's happening. I just want them to get up there and get a snack. They were going to get up there today and have a lot of Bethel kids and jigging and dancing. And I think what they got down here was so much more valuable. Amen. So much more. Kez, thanks, darling. You got a mic and tell us what's happening. Yeah. Finish off here.
Does anybody? I'm not ready to finish off. I feel for the kids' church people who put so much effort into getting it ready. Anyway, they can do it next week, guys. They can do it. Borg anymore, so we have left Borg and Matthews up here at times. But I don't know, can we let another Neathling up on the house? Yeah, come on. Don't need to ask. Come on.
And it's a confirmation regarding the dream God has given me. The dream, you remember, was the state of the church. And God has been talking to us as a family deeply about it. I don't think Reagan and it really realizes how Dad and I have changed over the last month, 2 months. Because God is showing me we have to let go of the many, 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 many things we put our time in. The road is narrow. What I watch, what I say, what I do, what I listen to, that is the most important thing. If Jesus cannot be there with that, I must pack my stuff and I must move along. Because the Holy Spirit is telling the church, church, wake up. Because as we've sung, we remembrance, one of the words were remembrance. And Rake was talking about singing. And I can tell you that music is the most powerful tool we have as Christians. My classroom in the mornings from very early is music playing. It's a tough class this year, but you know what? God is an almighty God. Because we speak life into those kids and the music are playing. They come in droves. And I love it because winter is coming. And winter is coming and the Holy Spirit is doing something about the Word of God. And I want to say that remembrance thing. If you and I remember what we really saved off, we shall stop worrying about the this's and the that's in our lives. We shall be more worried about the souls. Because if we go out of this church today, let me tell you, we move out and the people we see, they may not know what we know. And what if Jesus comes tomorrow and I or you let a chance go through our fingers? And God has given me a scripture for us. I've been with this scripture for the last 2 weeks. God has been just working and working with me with this scripture. Somebody was in my Bible, but that's all right. Let me just get there. This scripture, because during the COVID period, many marriages hits the rocks. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christian marriages that are going through tough times. And we as Christians who are supposed to be making a difference, as Reika has read and said, the enemy has set a trap for us. And his traps are there for us not to be doing what we do. And this is what God has been giving me to talk to everybody but that would like to hear. If we call upon the name of the Lord, listen to what he says in Isaiah 31:5. Like the birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, defend Krista, defend Rake, or anybody. Put your name in. Put your kids who you teach. Put your rugby players, your footy game guys in. Put every name in. He will be around them. Listen to what he says. So will the Lord of hosts defend the D. He will defend you in defending. He will also, another D, deliver you. So whatever issue you thought you had when you walked in this morning, it's gone. rake has prayed and God has broken the chains. The oil of the anointing washes off. The yoke was a wooden yoke upon the neck of the oxen. And oil on the neck of the oxen makes that the wood falls off. All the gunk, the enemy comes and he puts on your shoulders and he tries and pushes you down with. That's going to fall off. And he says, defending, delivering, and passing over, as God's passing over us, he will preserve it. He will preserve you. So whatever your storm is, remember, there's souls out there that need Jesus. And the longer you and I are busy talking about our own things, the less people out there hear about the Word of God. And this is what God wants. He wants us whole, not tomorrow, but today. For the world out there. Thank you. That's good. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. Anybody else have anything pressing on your heart this morning? No? I don't think we have many announcements except one very big particular one. That next week, so a lot of us would have missed it because hardly anyone was here at church, but we've made a decision as a leadership. Many of you will know on the first Sunday of every month, we would usually have cafe and the market would be on. We're up in the air about what's going on with market, but we were just really praying about sort of where to from here, and we've got a few families that are going to be highly affected coming into the footy season with their kids. And so we're like, you know what? It's okay to mix things up a little bit. And so we're going to not have a 10 a.m. service on the first Sunday of every month again. But instead, so there'll be nothing happening at all. No cafe, no nothing. But we're going to do an evening service just from 4:15 to 5:15. Okay, a little bit different. 4:15 to 5:15, there'll be no kids program, but the service is going to be a little different. It's going to be a family service that the kids, well, mind you, this was family as well, but a little bit more interactive with the kids than that. And then a few people are going to cook some soup and we'll get some chips for those who want to stay around. It's early enough for people to be able to head home with their kids for dinner or stick around for dinner. So that will be next week, 4:15 to 5:15 here. Spread the word. We've actually mentioned it to the other churches. Something we are so blessed with here in town is a really great relationship with the other churches that aren't of the same denomination. Praise God, a new pastor's come in, the Presbyterian, and he's so keen to just work together and stuff, which is so awesome. So we've opened it up to other people. And as it is as well, also fortnightly on other ones, Church of Christ have an evening one from 6:30 to 7:30. So I don't know, let's just support. We're all part of the same family. Hope I'm not stepping out of terms in this, but you know what? If you really feel you want to go to church next Sunday morning, don't feel like you can't go and bless one of the other churches around the place. Go and bless them with your presence. Go hear what God's doing in the body of Christ around the place. You know, it's, I don't know, some people feel afraid to do that, but I'm just thrilled. I'm like, there's an opportunity to do so. So we will send texts around. If you don't get our church texts, please make sure, Shelley, can you pretend it? Make sure Shelley has your number if you don't get the updates for church this week. Okay? I'm pretty sure, Daz, is there anything I'm missing? Because that's all I had up in my head. Okay, we have some exciting things coming up sort of over May, so stay tuned and we'll let you know as that comes. Oh, actually, Mother's Day, I'll put it up there as well. We will just be doing the basic as well, just a morning tea for all ladies. Mother's Day to me is about all ladies, honouring all the women because we're all mums in the house. So if you can, come that day and we'll have another lovely morning tea available for you too.
Good stuff. Get yourself ready with the music. Just a quick one too. Next week, we're saying it's an afternoon, evening or an evening service and we want to do it on a family basis. Just be prepared. Pray for one another this week. And if God puts someone on your heart, be prepared to come along and just share what God's given you. Mm. Make it a family service. Okay? And it's really amazing like how God is moving at the moment, but I certainly believe there will be a far more interactive care and love that's spread through the body of Christ. We've got a family called, a couple of preachers called the Baileys that were here about a year or so, 2 years ago, coming in when, what?
16th Sorry? May.
15th of?
May.
May, Queen's birthday weekend. No, Mother's Day weekend.
Nope, the week after.
Eh?
The week after.
The week after Mother's Day. I don't know what the dates are. It's funny, we were in New Zealand a while back, and the grandson, Ben's, you know, a little kid, he's a very sort of funny little kid sometimes, and Lexi said, oh, don't ask Grandpa, he doesn't even know what day it is. Well, he thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever heard, and every time he saw me, Grandpa, what day is it? I still don't know. But that's fine. It's fine. But I know who Jesus is. And I know what God's doing. And I know that he's working in, through, and amongst each and every one of us, and will do so in greater measure as we're a little more like kindness, a little more like grace, a little less like me.
Yeah.